Praise God. That was good worship time. That was wonderful. So glad we did that. And now we get into God's Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for every word of your Word. We thank you for every Bible. We thank you that they are so readily available and that you have given us the ability to read it, and better yet, to understand it, to receive it, and to live it out. And God, we pray that you would open your word to our understanding today, that you'd show us something new. It wouldn't be new in your word. It would be new to us. Your word is established. Your word is complete. It's canon. It is awesome. Nothing can be added to your word. It is a finished word. You'll speak to us in other ways, but your word is complete and without error, inspired by you. Lord God, open it to our understanding. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we all agreed, saying, amen, because we want to get it. We want to get it. Genesis 5. Well, you know, first I want to say, last Sunday, and every Sunday, we preach the gospel. And last Sunday and every Sunday, we remind you how important, how absolutely essential it is that you read God's Word, that you get into God's Word regularly, that it gets into you, right, that you absorb it into your life, and then it is lived out of your life, and you grow in understanding, because every question you have is answered in God's Word. Every situation you have, God can help you with it through His Word. Everything you need to know is right here in God's Word. Get into it. We are to study and search the Scriptures daily, as was the practice of the Berean church in the book of Acts. I love that. And we took that as our church's Bible reader's name. We have a club called the Berean Club because of the Berean church being especially into God's Word. That's cool. And they got it right for doing so. And so we claim the name Berean Club from them. But there are some dry bits, let's be honest. In the Bible, there are some dry bits. I mean, there are measurements. There are redundancies. And how about those genealogies? I mean, that's fun, right? That's fun. Reading the genealogy. What I'm talking about is, you know, he begot, and they lived so long and so on and so on. And then they died. And you're just, wow, I'm absorbing this. But wait, what if there's gold in them there hills? Yeehaw! There is, actually. I'm sorry, every once in a while I kick into Prospector Dan. I can't help that. When I start reading God's Word, and I was into the Word the other day, and also into the internet, because I get things sent to me on the internet. Good stuff. From you know, Sermon Central, and from, you know, God's Word Plus, and all these different services and these pages that are amazing stuff come from there. And I received this one little article that just blew my mind. I'm not kidding you. Not literally, because I'm here. So I mean, but it was really good. You know, people use the word literally all wrong. So by the way, it was figurative that my mind was blown, but nonetheless, blown. And here I was reading this. So case in point, you think it's boring, but wait, maybe not. So Genesis chapter 5. Oh man, hold on to your hats. This is going to be good. This is the book of the genealogies of Adam. In the days when God created man, he made him the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. Well, that's good. That's good. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Then the days of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters to be named later. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. Then Seth lived 807 years and became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years, and he became the father of Kenan. Then Enosh lived 850 years and became the father of Kenan. After he became the father of Kenan, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and guess what happened? He died. Kenan lived 70 years and became the father of Mahalalel. Then Kenan lived 840 years after he became the father of Mahalalel, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and became the father of Jared. Hey, I know a kid named Jared. Then Mahalalel lived 830 years, and after he became the father of Jared, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. Then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch, wait a minute, this is different. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365. Well, that's a year. 365 years of, a year of years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, that's entirely different. And then we have Methuselah, lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. That's fun to say. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969. Ooh, we have a winner. 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Yeah. Now he called his name Noah. Well, this is a standout. He had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." Rest. That's good. Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters, and you know what? So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, 777. Seven's a perfect number, isn't it? 777 years, and he died. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Actually, that's good reading. Wait a minute. It's not that boring. I think I could preach about a dozen sermons out of there. I could. Right from the Adam. Boom. I could talk about Adam. And we could talk about their names. We could talk about the numbers. And they're significant numbers. Not that we get hung up on numbers and then make that our God, but numbers are interesting, and God uses everything. He uses numbers, he uses formula, he uses names to tell us something deeper. He's not just telling us a story, he's telling us a very deep story. And there, it is layered upon layered upon layered, kind of like the donkey from Shrek said, "Oh, you ogres are deep, you're like an onion, there's layer upon layer." Well, God's word is not an ogre, but it is very deep and layered and very amazing as you get into it. And I'm telling you, you could camp here in chapter 5 of Genesis and have a good study for a good long time. And no, it would not be boring, I guarantee you that. Now, one number we have, a case in point, we have these 10 men, 10 patriarchs. Now, they're not in precise order. They're certainly in order from father to son, father to son, but there might have been and probably were other father and son in there, because when you add it all up, it doesn't quite fit numerically as far as the years from the creation to the flood, but that's another study. But that's a study too, right? And you'd want to do that and go, "Wow, wait a minute, how Adam would have still been alive at the time of his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson. That's pretty crazy stuff. And then here we have It's number 10. It's a good number. It's as good as any number. Maybe it's better than most numbers. Like 10 is an important number. These are 10 men and 10 specific patriarchs for all time. Did you know that in the book of Luke, we find these same 10 listed in reverse order, talking about the genealogy of Christ, going back from Joseph all the way back to Adam, and there they are again, and it's exactly the same story. Here we are at the birth of the gospel, and boom, it refers back to Genesis again, and the same 10 men. Kind of a top 10 list, if you will. And I just love that. So today I want to share with you the gospel in Genesis. I mean, there's so much. The gospel's everywhere. The gospel's in creation. The gospel's in me. The gospel's in you. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is throughout God's word. It didn't start at the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It began in the beginning. And we can see it throughout scripture. But there's a perfect 10. This 10, the number 10 is of completion or perfection. Laban, the father-in-law and uncle of Jacob, changed Jacob's wages 10 times. And Jacob says, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. That's like so many times. That's 10 times. That's a lot of times. Or here, God brought 10 plagues upon Egypt. I mean, he didn't just go randomly, what's a good number? What do you think? Holy Spirit? Jesus? Let's vote. No, he 10. 10 was a perfect number again. It's a good number. Before Egypt and Pharaoh finally let the Israelites leave, we find that in Exodus, of course, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, not the 8 or 12 or suggestions. It's the Ten Commandments, and God chose 10. And it's not like he says, come on, we got to come up with two more. We got 8. What do you know? No, 10 was right. 10 was correct. 10 was the number, the 10 commandments. And then there's the parables. There's the 10 virgins, five having oil in their lamps, 5 not prepared, not having oil in their lamps. And then there's the nobleman with the 10 talents. He gave his servants and expecting an increase. There's 10. And then Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one of them returned. Only 10% return on his investment of healing on these men. And funny thing, that one, the only one that returned was a Samaritan and was not very popular. Of course, we know that with the Jews. They were like, you know, they would spit, sort of like Willerton, not the Billion family. I mean, that TV show, what was it, Corner Gas? Willerton, and they spit on the ground. It's same thing with the Samaritans. That's how the Israelites felt about the Samaritans. But 10 is a number. 10's a number. In the end, it's a number. But in these references, these 10, we are given 4 details of significance. Each one's the same. Name, that's important. We begin with a name. And then the age at the birth of his first son, except in the case of Adam and Seth. We know he had 2 other sons, but they were kind of a, you know. Anyways, so then we have the first son, and then the length of his remaining life, that father. So the patriarch, it's a name, his given name, and I would suggest it was given by God. Amazing. How cool is that? His given name, and then the name of his son, and then the age of the father at the birth of his son, of course, and then the length of his remaining life. So helpful to those who are mathematically challenged, like my dear Judy, it always ended each one with, and this is the total number. Just, you don't have to do the math. It's very helpful here. At the age of his death, there's a number. So the longevity of the patriarchs. We've got a slide up for you for there, I'm hoping. Anyways, I'm not going to look back. I'm just going to go by faith. I'm believing. 912 years was the average. 912 years, that's long, right? We got to have to agree that 912 is 10 times longer than we would hope for a life. Now, I'd kind of like that. You know, nearly 1,000 years. I mean, 912 years, not counting Enoch. Because remember, I kind of stopped there, and there was some significance because it says Enoch walked with God. Well, and his lifespan was only 300 and some years, I guess, right? Is that, where is it? Enoch, 365. Yeah, right, a year. I mean, come on. Should have been able to remember that. 365 years. But he's never died. So he's really old now. I mean, he blows all the rest of them out of the water because he's never died. So he's like 4,000, 5,000 years old, something like that. That's weird. He's older than Doug over there. I'm telling you, he is old. But you're getting older too, and that's a good thing, right? You're getting a turn at getting, you know, every year. It's awesome. Birthdays are good. Birthdays are good. So, praise the Lord. Sorry, Doug. I was just looking for somebody I could pick on safely. I know you wouldn't hurt me. Well, anyways, so there you go. So there's the longevity is 912 years. And there's some different thinking as to how they live. So, I mean, this is crazy long lifespans. I mean, terrific long. But and it talks about that in the future kingdom. It, actually, in the millennium, the 1,000 years, it says that one who lives hundreds of years will still be young. And it would be such a shame if they died at that age. It would be far too soon. So the idea that we will live long again during the millennium, not we who, if we have not died yet, if we are alive at the time of the rapture, we will be taken up and we will never die. Thank you, Lord. There's gospel stuff right there, isn't it? That's good stuff right there. Now, the theories are that the canopy, that the atmosphere is different at that time in the world. God created it much, it was different, the atmosphere, than it is today. And that the canopy, as they like to refer to it, was sort of a greenhouse effect, if you will. They talk about a greenhouse effect in the negative now, but that's because it's full of chemicals. That's not, you know, God had no chemicals in that. It was awesome, good greenhouse. And the atmosphere was so much different, and it was pure and clean. And every day it was like that, unless you were near the goats. And then that's before the flood rains. But, or the other idea is that, of course, at the beginning there was no sin in this world. And over time, this infection of sin beginning at Adam and Eve became more prevalent and infected this world, causing death to come sooner and more sickness to come in, because this world is breaking down. And we see that all around us. The sickness is all about. Now, granted, mankind has been given knowledge from God to combat sickness, and we have found all sorts of treatments and helps and medicines even in this world that are to our benefit. But ultimately, sickness and sin has infected this world, bringing life shorter and shorter as it has. But I suggest there's a third explanation that men and women lived near 1,000 years because God wanted them to. That's probably it. God wanted them to, and that's that. And God said so, and so it was so. And that's how I'm going to go ahead and believe this. Anyway, but can you imagine? I mean, you live 900 years. You wouldn't retire at 65, or you would be bored to death. You wouldn't even retire at 650. You'd still be spry. You'd be yee-haw, you know, still looking for gold up in those hills. And still, I mean, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa would be playing slow pitch with the kids and be just as sharp and as quick and strong as ever at 650. I mean, this is a different world. That's so cool. And it's going to be like that. It's going to be like that during the millennial reign. It's going to be better than that when we are taken up to be with the Lord. I mean, there is no age. There is no sickness. There is no death. There is none of that. Praise God. That is the gospel good news, is it not? That's wonderful. I mean, but again, I digress. To really appreciate, though, what we have here, I think we need to look into the names of these 10 men. And this is where your mind is going to go, wow, it's going to be neat. Because God has assigned meaning to every name. And when I came across this article, I had to look into it. I just, really? And so I grabbed my concordance and my lexicon and my Bibles, and I did a Judy, and I camped around my Bibles and my studies and all of that, and I got into it, and I went to each name, and sometimes it mentions specifically what that name means, like Seth. It does say right, boom, in the scriptures that God had appointed this child to replace the other, appointed. You know, we see that. And there's other names that have meanings. But every name has a meaning. Every one of them has a meaning, and not by accident. Every one has a name, and not by accident. And every one exists, and not by accident. It's wonderful. And that's, again, good news. So I got into my studies, and I went and studied into the Hebrew and the meanings, and I just was so amazed. So beginning with Adam. Adam, the first man. And in fact, his name means man or mankind. He was like the first. He was the prototype. He was just like God created man, Adam, in his image, and all other men were created. And what does it say even about Seth? It says he was created in the likeness of Adam. Adam created in the likeness of God. Very cool. Very cool. Mankind. Boom. Right there at the start. That's what it means. Man or mankind. And we see, again, that Genesis is the gospel. Because the first Adam, and Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. And from the first Adam, sin come into this world. And by the second Adam, sin is made of no effect. Sin is defeated by the second Adam. Jesus and Adam are not the same, as some religions would suggest that Adam and Jesus are somehow the same person or persons. I mean, that's just twisted, messed up foolishness. Jesus is the Son of God. Thank you for that. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is not Adam. He is compared to in some similarity, but God is also compared to a mother hen. But God and hens are not the same. I knew that right away when I read it. I didn't stumble over that for a while and go, wait a minute, God has feathers? Wow, that's stupid. If I thought that for a second. Hope you don't mind me using that word, but it is. Anyways, so Jesus and Adam, there's a comparison here. And Adam is the first man. Jesus is the Son of Man, Son of God. Praise the Lord. So Adam means man or mankind. Then Seth, he is the substitute, if you will. He is appointed. He is marked. He is put in place of, if you will, of Cain and Abel, because we know Cain slew Abel, and then Cain was banished and marked, and what a mess that was. And meanwhile, though, God gave Eve another son, and Adam. And Eve named him Seth, and his name means appointed, appointed, you know, marked and put on. That's what it means. That's very cool. That's correct. And Jesus is our substitute. How cool is that? That we would have to stand before God at the judgment. That we would have to pay the penalty for our sins, but Jesus is our substitute. Praise God. And we are appointed once to die and then the judgment. We are all appointed. But Jesus has taken that on himself, and we can celebrate, we can be so glad in knowing that our appointment will have Jesus there. Oh, thank you, Lord. He'll meet us there at that appointment. Thank you, Lord. Next is Enosh. So we have Adam meaning man or mankind, and Seth meaning appointed, and then Enosh, which is another word that is similar to man, but it means mortal, like to die or to be able to die or will die. And again, we see that in the appointment that we are all appointed to die. Mortal, and the root word means frail or feeble. That's not a bad description of mankind. I mean, we can be taken down by a microscopic organism, or we could be stomped by an elephant. I mean, either way, something could happen. And we are frail. We are porcelain people, by the way. You know, we think we're pretty, pretty tough, but not really. We are mortal. And mortality came upon us at the beginning in Genesis, at the sin. For on the day that you eat of the tree of good and evil, you shall surely die. You will begin your mortal future at that moment. And we know that the wages of sin is death. And that sin that we have inherited, been infected with, is promising us death. But Jesus took on mortality. He who was God is veiled in flesh. The Son of God became man. He took on mortality. Immortal took on mortality, so that we who are mortal shall receive immortality. Praise God. Praise God. There's Genesis. There's the gospel in Genesis. And now, so we got Enosh meaning mortal. And Canaan means sorrow, means sorrow. Canaan, also known as Kenan, was not the son of Cain, or because Cain actually has sons too, and they're listed. If you want to read them, go ahead. You should read them and see that. But nor was, Canaan was a grandson of Seth. Let's see, the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and begat sons and daughters. We read that. Now, let's see, we got Canaan, meaning sorrow. Jesus is described as the man of sorrow. Man of sorrow. He came into this world to suffer and to die. It was not his best day. He grieved. He sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane as he anticipated what would be in store for him. Man of sorrow, but he did it with great joy. It was the joy set before him. The sorrow of the cross was also the way to the great joy of saving us. Thank you, Jesus. Next is Mahalalel. You see the root word El in Mahalalel. Now, El means God. El. I mean, in fact, any name that has El in it, my name has El in it, Daniel, and my name is Judge of God. Judge for God. I do not judge God. That'd be ridiculous. Anyways, El means God, and that is so cool. And it always means God. Elohim is God. Hallel means praise. We see the word hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise, praise in Yahweh, right? We got that. Mahalalel means blessed God. Jesus is God. Oh, we praise him. Amen? Amen. Mahalalel. Hallelujah. And then after Mahalalel, we have Jared. And we have a kid named, young man named Jared, a handsome young man, a good young man named Jared in our church. His name means shall come down, shall come down. The meaning of the name is he who descends, if you will. In the book of Enoch, it is explained that Mahalalel named Jared because during his lifetime, the angels of the Lord descended to earth. The name could also be understood as he who shall rule. But for this application, we're going to use the meaning shall come down. Jesus came down. I see the gospel. Jesus came down. From Genesis forward, they were looking for a Messiah. And Jesus is the Messiah. And since Jesus came down and was Savior of this world, we have been looking back to that day. That was the crucial day. Shall come down. Shall come down. Jared. And then next, the seventh from Adam, Enoch, son of Jared. Enoch is very different than the other nine. In fact, he is a most rare soul. As I said earlier, the average lifespan, 912 years. Well, his is 365 years. You'll never forget that. That's a year. It's a year, 365 years, and then you think of maybe an extra for a leap year. Well, he leaped, and he went up to heaven. And then Enoch, it says, lived 65 years, became the father of Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. Walked with God. I love that. Walked with God. That's deep. It's like going back to Adam as God, and he walked in the garden in the cool of the evening. And here we have Enoch walking with God. There's such a closeness, such a relation there, such a wonderful idea. And it can be real. And it happened right here. Enoch walked with God. None before were described this way. He walked with God. And his lifespan, 365 years, or you know, many, many thousands in 365 years. And it says he walked with God 300 years after he had Methuselah. And he was not, for God took him. He was the first rapture. How cool is that? We talk about the rapture, and yeah, the word rapture isn't in the word, but the idea, the concept is there. And there, here we have Enoch, the first one to be taken up to be with God. He is our example that we too shall be taken up to be with God. He was the first. Elijah is another who was taken up. The fiery chariots. And Elisha saw his master Elijah taken up. Wow. What a thing. What a thing. And there's Elijah. And I hope I got that right. Was Elijah Elijah? Well, that's another study. Judy will correct me on that because that's cool. I don't mind that at all. Anyway, so we have Elijah. But we have Enoch. He's taken up. He's raptured. And we too shall be raptured. We will, who are alive at the time when Christ takes up the church, we will not experience death just as Enoch did not experience death. That's good news. That's gospel. That's awesome. Enoch means teaching or serving. You pick. Teaching or serving. It is about, again, like Enosh meant human or mortal. But this is more specific about a task of the mortal, teaching or serving. And then Enoch begot Methuselah. Methuselah is also noteworthy. He is recorded as the oldest, the longest lifespan of any who walked. Now, and we know that women live like years longer than men on average. So I'm thinking Methuselah's wife probably is the oldest, longest living, but we don't know that. They don't mention the women, but they did mention Methuselah, 969 years. That's crazy long. Not as long as this sermon, I know, but pretty long. His name means, Methuselah means his life shall bring. His life shall bring. Cool. Jesus' life. He is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. His life shall bring salvation. His life brings life and more abundant life. His life brings restoration, forgiveness, mercy, grace. His life brings everything. His life brings love and relationship. His life brings fellowship. His life brings us into existence as a church. We are the bride of Christ. His life brings every good thing. Amen. Lamech, scooting along, means despairing or lamenting. Oh, whoa. I mean, we're seriously, whoa. Lamenting, despairing. And the people who lived in darkness shall see a great light. And the light is life. Jesus Christ, the Lord. We are a lamenting people. We are despairing. We are without hope until we have Christ. And then all things become new. He brings hope to the hopeless. He brings sight to the blind. He brings salvation. He brings freedom to the captives. Thank you, Lord. Captives are despairing. Those who cannot see lament. Those who are in need of healing. Woe. And finally, oh, I know you're glad to hear that. And finally, we have Noah. Noah, but I mean, this is cool. This is cool stuff. You will be happy to know that Noah simply means, and we read it, rest. He shall bring rest. Comfort and rest is what it means. Comfort and or rest. Noah's life serves as a dividing line between two civilizations, before and after a judgment of God. At a time that is commonly referred to as the pre-flood. Well, that's convenient. It's before the flood, pre-flood. And we know Noah built the ark, and he and his sons' wives got on that ark, and his wife, I should mention her, sorry, wife. And then time after that is post-flood, pre- and post-flood. That's not too hard to wrap my head around that. The flood serves as the judgment, as a dividing line, and it was a judgment upon a desperately wicked people. There will be another judgment. We know that. We were all appointed to die and then the judgment. But God said, I will never do this again as I have. Never again will I judge the world and never again like that. But there will be judgment, you can be sure. And it is going to be true and just and swift. But I want to show you something that is absolutely amazing to me about these 10 names and their meaning. Each one standing alone is very cool, very cool. But what if you put them together? I get a rush when I read this. Man, appointed mortal sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching and serving. His death shall bring the despairing comfort and rest. Wow. We can throw a few words. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for showing this. Man is appointed mortal and sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching and serving. His death shall bring the despairing comfort and rest. There's the gospel. Right at the beginning. Right there, just beyond our sight. And then we see it. Read God's word. It's not just here. It's all over God's word. This gold, this precious truths that are there for us to discover. They're waiting for you. God wants to show you things, wants to reveal things to you, wants to teach you and even blow your mind, expand your faith and encourage and stir you up. If this doesn't stir you up to read God's word, nothing will, I guess, and that's no good at all. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching and serving. Thank you, Jesus. His death shall bring the despairing comfort and rest. That's the gospel. Let's bow our heads. You move us, Lord. You amaze us. And for you, this was simple. To have 10 men named and to assign significance to each of those names and make those names beautifully blend together and then to say, hey, Moses, write these 10 names down for me, will you? In this particular order. Because it's even cooler than you think, Moses. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that there's such depth. You created everything. And you gave us this little, just a treasure. Just a little treasure. It's certainly not the most amazing thing you'd ever done. Not even close. But it's a faith builder. It's an encourager. It's sweet that you would do that in your letter to us, in your book to us, that you would put these little treasures in there. You put treasure in us, Lord. And I thank you for that. We are vessels, earthen jars of clay. And we hold the most wonderful treasure of all, Christ Jesus, we who have received you as Lord. I invite anyone this morning who has not yet invited Jesus into their heart to do so today. There's no formula. God's word that says just if you believe in your heart, confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. In another place it says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you would let me in, I will come into your heart and I will fellowship with you. In another place it says, if you confess your sins, Jesus will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. These are all truths from your word, God, and I encourage anyone here this morning who has not yet invited you to be Lord of their lives, to open the door of their heart and let you in. to confess their sins and profess that they are believers, and that maybe just this little glimpse of your creativeness is enough just for them to be stirred up in their faith this morning. Just a seed of faith this morning that would say, I'm gonna believe God's word this morning, that indeed I am appointed mortal and sorrow. I get that. And I'm going to go ahead and believe that the blessed God shall come down teaching and serving, because you did, Jesus. We can read that in the Gospels. And that your death, I'm going to go ahead and believe that your death shall bring the despairing comfort, because it has and it continues to. And ultimately, I want that rest. I want that on that day you shall say to me, "Well done, good and faithful. Come, welcome into your rest, which was prepared for you before the beginning of the world." Oh, Lord, we want for that. So if there be anyone this morning who would invite Jesus to be Lord, why don't you just say so? Just say so. You can say it under your breath. You can shout it out. You can just speak it out of your heart quietly or loud or however, in your words from your heart. "Jesus, I need you to forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life and help me to serve you the rest of my days. I surrender myself and I thank you, Jesus, for the gospel message that is everywhere. If I would just look." And we thank you for this in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said, amen.